Good morning. Welcome. We have a tradition here at Mountain View to offer a small gift to anybody who's here for the very first time. And I do this so I don't see anybody here for the very first time, so that you're reminded that we really welcome new folks. You have my permission to invite new folks to church, just to make sure you knew that. And we will greet them and welcome them at that time. We'd like to ask two of you to come forward to talk to us about intentional faith development as part of our Woven Together in Love theme. There we go.
Good morning. I'm using the handheld. Shout out to our ABT, thank you. Up there, I am Liam. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I am part of the fabric of the church that we meet together. Intentional Faith Development is one of the committees that does the work and appreciates and uses the blessings, the financial blessings that you give us in the conference and that God gives all of you. So thank you for that. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we do. We think about the way we talk about church stuff. We talk about a journey. We talk about the path that we are on, the path that leads us to Christ, the path that we follow so that we might do more of His work in this world. That is what intentional faith tries to do, intentionally, which means for a purpose, getting people closer to God, having Christ in their hearts more. How does that happen? It happens when we talk to each other. So it's in small groups, it's in Sunday school, it's fellowship dinners, it's in the hallways with coffee in hand. We share and support each other, we talk about our path, how Christ has changed us. Questions we might have, we read together, we stitch together. It's all of these things that intentional faith development wants to support. We learn together. We challenge each other. Sometimes the topics in our Sunday school classes, in our Bible studies, in our small groups, in our evening sessions, in our lunch and learns are challenging. And so we sit next to each other, we walk next to each other on that path, on that journey. That's what intentional faith does. This, I don't know how many of you remember this book, The Transformation Journal. Anyone? Anyone? It is a book that this entire church uses. It's a large group and it's small groups. It's parents and it's people. And we use this to learn more about Scripture, to learn more about the Word of God, so that we might journey together and have Christ in our heart every day with each other on our own in this world. That is what intentional faith does, and we love being part of this church and part of the We.
The We. Good job. Thank you. Kua. Speaker for Staff Parish, Amy, to come forward at this time. Perfect timing. Yes. Thank you for coming. She's going to be telling us how the support of Staff Parish is foundational for the work and ministry of Mountain View. Amy Wright.
We're gonna serve so.
steadfast love endures forever. Those who he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Yes. I will be headed toward
Yes.
A blessing for my daughter. She just was offered a job, and she's been looking for years, and so she's finally just offered a job and will start teaching.
Jane's daughter is offered a job. What area? What field is
GIS.
Government Geological Information Systems. Has that her daughter? What's your daughter's name? What's your daughter's name?
Elizabeth,
her daughter, has found a job. Yes.
My youngest son, Raymond, is turning 40, and I'm leaving Wednesday for Massachusetts for surprise
time. Her son, her youngest, Raymond, is turning 40? But you're only 39, so I don't know how that works. He turns 40, she's going for a surprise party for him. Others. Those we should be praying for, yes.
Our alma mater is per its requirement for government hosting a speaker while allowing a speaker to speak that promotes hate and things. So prayers for that community as they work towards peaceful protests and things and for all the churches that this day works.
Prayers for their community in Florida where they came from. For all communities that are struggling with free speech and how to allow that in a productive way, in a healthy way. Yes, Jim.
Last 2 days, Joni and I have been to some magnificent concerts down, and each time we thought about the music program here at the church and how much we appreciate it. So a prayer of appreciation and joy for our choir.
A prayer of appreciation for our music program and directors. Where's Stephen? Oh, there he is. You're hiding behind the weave. Beautiful. Hear that choir. How much we appreciate you. We celebrate the life of Mary Ellen Lavoda this past week. And as she passed away, and the church had family and friends here from Mountain View to recognize and acknowledge her loss. And yesterday, in the midst of the windstorm, we had a beautiful wedding here. And I was pleased to remind them that that God was not found by the prophet in the Mahim Yid, but in the still small voice. We hear that still small voice when we pray. Shall we bow together? Help us, O Lord, to hear your still, small voice deep within. In the midst of a world where angry voices rule the day, help us, Lord, to acknowledge injustice, to acknowledge anger. Find it within ourselves to see what element of truth there might be in other people's points of view. Help us to express ourselves, Lord, as your children, and with loving hearts reach out beyond our comfort zone to care for those who are least and lost and lonely, who feel misunderstood. May we be the bridge that love crosses over. Help us, God, in the season of stewardship and grace to acknowledge you in our words, in our work, and in our lives. Allow us to be your people in all things. We pray for those who set out on a marriage journey just yesterday. Those who have been in love for many, many years. For those whose loved ones have gone on to their ancestors and their lonesome. We pray, God, that you would be with our families, young and old alike. That we would communicate together the values that we hold dear. Especially those of faith. Help us to find resilience in the midst of struggle. Help us to discover courage in the midst of strife. And allow us to be your children here in this place. We pray these things through Jesus.
Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as we sing together. Woven together in God, and woven together in ministry. gifts that you have provided. Our hearts belong to you, O God, and what else? Strengthen us for the work of the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you be seated?
Please join me in the scriptural meditation found in your bulletins and on the screen. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
excited to come to the pulpit today to share together with you some of my learnings about this particular passage of Scripture. It is interesting to me that when you set up Scriptures months in advance about what it is you're going to preach about on a consecration or a stewardship Sunday, that then the challenge is to find what the devil does the good shepherd have to do with woven together in God. It turns out quite a lot, and I'm eager to share that with you this morning. Gracious God, touch our hearts and strengthen us as we seek to be woven together in love, woven together in mission and service, woven together as God's family in this place. Bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. Strengthen us that we might strengthen others. Build within us resilience so that we might be visible to others for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this passage on the Good Shepherd is one of my favorite ones. We hear it every year along about the second or third Sunday after Easter. It is part of our normal lectionary series. So you may have heard a lot of this about the Good Shepherd before, and I guess I hope you have, because these strands tie together. Shepherds at the time of the writing of the New Testament, as you might remember, were marginalized people. They were very much needed, but they weren't very much appreciated. Mostly they were pretty dirty and smelly and had to live rough with the sheep. And I can only imagine what they were like when they came home to the wife. Go take a bath. The job required leading the flock to pasture. It required seeking strays before they fell victim to predators and accounting for every last one of the sheep to the owner of the sheep for its well-being and its life. As you can imagine, a good shepherd was hard to find. There were plenty of people who did the job, but not everybody took it to heart, took it earnestly to heart. This was so much the case that the Bible shows how the shepherd was expected, was obliged to put his life on the line for the sheep. One reference in the Old Testament mentions that a shepherd couldn't simply claim that a sheep was attacked by a lion. He had to salvage a leg or an ear from the lion's mouth as proof, or he'd have to pay the price for the sheep. The shepherd was expected literally to lay his life down for the sheep, because you might remember in the enclosure, the shepherd laid at the mouth, the door of the sheep. He became the door of the sheep, both in and out, and had to lay his life down for them by protecting them. And I can only believe, man, oh man, that takes courage. If some wild dogs or a lion are trying to take a sheep, couldn't climb over the fence wall because it was too high or covered with acacia branches with heavy, sharp spikes. But there at the gate, you alone, maybe a small fighter, laying there as the gate keeper. Took courage, took faith, took resilience on those lonely nights to continue in the faith, to be strengthened by God's love, to have the courage that we need to have to be God's faithful shepherds in this world. This month, the congregation is exploring what it means to be woven together in God. And my challenge is to connect these two ideas, the Good Shepherd and being woven together in God, so good luck. It is by love, it is by learning, it is by worship, it is by mission and service that we intend to elevate our resilience and our understanding of the Lord to a level that God would appreciate. We don't just live these lives for ourselves, we live them for the sight of the Lord. These weeks we're seeing how warp and weave come together to intertwine into a tapestry of God among us. The warp, the structural pieces, the weave, the colorful pieces. We have discovered that no strand can stand on its own. No weave has its full expression without the support of the warp. And no warp has full purpose without the colorful weave holding it up to its task of ministry. In this way, the resilient fabric of Jesus Christ, ministry and service, love and learning, are woven into our lives together with dedication and purpose. In the first week of our series, Pastor Sarah spoke eloquently of how in the weaving of our ministries, every strand passes through the hands of the weaver. Do you remember that? Therefore, every thread is imbued with, she said, with the purpose of the Creator and the essence of the Holy. The fabric that's woven within us, spiritual fabric, is touched by the hands of the Master Weaver and therefore is imbued with the purposes of God and the presence of the Holy. That makes you and I God's expression of the gospel, both warp and weave out into the world. This is the same piece of our story that passes all understanding. When I say peace here, I mean P-E-I-C-E. Peace. The piece of fabric woven inside of us. And the peace, P-E-A-C-E, which is the peace that passes all understanding in our hearts, that we experience from being in and of Jesus Christ. By allowing God to handle us, the fabric of our lives, and woven together, we are imbued in that braiding of our personal fabric by the Master Weaver with his purpose and his plan. In other words, when we allow God's love to be expressed as a weaving of life and purpose within us, the static imagery of an ordinary piece of cloth, P-I-E-E-C-E, takes on new meaning. Yeah, I have to re-accept after C. I have to do that. The idea of a static imagery of an ordinary piece of cloth takes on a new meaning. With Christ in us, the cloth, in a way, gets up and walks around as a tapestry of ministry and service. Christ's peace is imparted and impressed into our very lives in the weaving of our decisions, our choices, our conversations around the dinner table, our talks with other people, whether texts or phone calls. Christ's peace is imparted and impressed into our very lives as we pray for children to find work, and we pray for friends who are spared disasters, as we pray for those who are sick, as we care for those who are aging. Close-knit inside each of us, Jesus followers, he weaves ordinary folks into his holy people. And we're brought together to roll up our sleeves and serve God wherever we live. I believe in the work that we're doing. I believe in you as individuals and the ministry that we are able to accomplish together. Mission and ministry, vision and service, Mountain View, though imperfect, like any piece of woven material, seeks to reflect the weaver's purpose. It seeks to reflect the master's skill. And it is with great joy, last Sunday, we had lunch with the pastor and had five or six new folks to come and tell us in the room, who've been part of Mountain for some years, Mountain View for some years, what they're excited about being part of this community. And man, that is really cool. It's cool for me, anyway, because I see what you're doing, and I believe in what we're doing together. With hope and resilience braided in, God's purposes are revealed, and our sacred community is strengthened for the living of these days with courage, faith, and resilience. But what do we strengthen in order to accomplish? Surely God doesn't just want us to be courageous for ourselves. He doesn't just want us to help our own. He doesn't want us to be resilient to save ourselves somehow. If we are, as the psalmist puts it, the people of God's pasture and the sheep of his hand, we must permit the shepherd's leading. We must allow the shepherd's guiding. We must participate bodily in the weaving of a living tapestry of love, hope, grace in Jesus Christ. The good shepherd, who would call us out into the world by the sheep gate and employ us even as sheep for the shearing, woven together in God, the good shepherd calls us to a place of green pastures and fresh water open to all. Isn't this the meaning of John 10:6 and Jesus' words when he says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this sheepfold, and I must bring them also. They will heed my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. And so our faith is not meant just for our personal salvation. It's not just meant for our personal delight, but also for building up the kingdom of God and the transformation of the world. Referring today, again, to the passage on the Good Shepherd, Jesus is the living door of God for us. He's the gate of the sheep, and we are his sheep. We are of his flock. And it's through that gate that we come into the safety of the sheepfold to know God's wisdom, to hear about God's love, to understand and experience God's compassion for our lives. We go in for protection. But likewise, Jesus is the door through which we go out into the world. He leads and provides for a sheep both when we need protection and when we adventure with God out in the world. And whether the image is in or out, sheep or living tapestry, all the strands come together in Christ, and everyone's gifts are needed to complete the task. Last week, Larissa spoke of one of my favorite stories, Stone Soup, which points out how everyone's contribution, even possibly threadbare or meager when taken together, make a marvelous and nourishing soup. The gifts we're prepared to bring on October 29th, which is Consecration Sunday, for this ministry, whether mighty meat or meager vegetable, are essential ingredients to the meal of mission and service which God is preparing in our midst. We as a community of faith, which I believe in, can do without no person, without no prayer. We can do without no offering or word of encouragement to build up this ministry of Mountain View for the sight of God. Everybody is needed, whether you're able to make monetary contribution or not, or simply pray. Because sustaining an expansive vision of sacred space and music, sustaining an expansive vision of meaningful mission and evangelism, service and outreach, require us to fulfill the promise and vow that we made when we became part of the community of faith, to uphold this church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our words, our witness. And we don't do this just to sustain ourselves or feather our own nests. This support builds the foundation for the future of the world. I'm delighted when we see all of our families at the playground and the children there. They've gone on to learn something about their faith this morning, but they remain in my mind and in my heart every day. What kind of faith community are we providing so that they become the future, the church not of just today, but not of tomorrow, but the church of today? They, through their essential skills, their essential learning, their essential worship, hearing us sing the songs with faith and conviction, creates an environment woven together in love that one day they will take their place among us as leaders in the church. Because from an early age, we learn our lessons. From an early age, we come to know God. And from an early age, we learn to weave together his purpose into our daily routine. At a very early age, my mother taught all of us children how to sew. In her matrilinear line before her, my mother's people and all the females had made such handwork part of their skill set. But my mother was not content for it just to be for the girl in our family, my sister, but all four of us boys, we needed to learn how to sew. And I can tell you that I can make a pretty darn good whip stitch, but I'm even better at that lock stitch. And that sucker holds. She would have us learn how to sew buttons. She would have us take two pieces of cloth and sew them together at a seam. She would have us mend things for the household. And I don't think it was just so that she could avoid the work. She wanted us to learn something important. Part of her matrilinear line was quilting. My grandmother's skill made her quilt our state's winning entry in our nation's 1976 bicentennial celebration in Washington, D.C. And when my mother goes on to her ancestors and my ancestors, I will inherit that piece. And remember, her tiny stitches and weak eyes and her careful mending together of scraps of cloth from her household to make a beautiful expression, a quilt. Now, Mom was keen that each of us know how to sew. so that we could take care of ourselves. And when we asked her why, she often said, you need to know this, son, so that you don't have to marry some girl just to mend your clothes. I sometimes think my mom still thinks we shouldn't have other women in our lives, but too bad. Sorry. I began to understand that basic life skills, such as sewing, knitting, bring a resilience of their own. And that such basic life skills, such as praying and reading the Bible and giving of ourselves in mission and service and making gifts and writing checks for the work of the kingdom of God, builds resilience in our lives, yours and mine. I took a further interest in handwork, learning how to knit from my mother's hand. And if somebody will show me the motions again, I think I continue to be able to do that. But I have to have a refresher course. And I learned taffing, making a lace from my grandmother's knee. At her knee, I still can't do that, but I watched her do it. It's pretty amazing how to make lace. Pulling together broken strands and mending the emotional tears of this world is what ministry is all about. I am convinced that the fabric of our lives is mended through the love of Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that there's no place like the faith community where we are privileged to help mend the fabric of our culture and our society, which has so many diverse interests. In so many different voices, it can be a great challenge indeed. In the next 20 years, we can expect another 2.2 million people to come move to Colorado. Every year, the state becomes more and more full of people. More and more full of diverse ideas. More and more full of strife. It certainly is a lot more people than my folks thought of bringing with them in 1892 when they came to settle up in the northeastern part of the state of Colorado. And I think the community of faith has a unique opportunity to help mend these pieces from people's lives together. Now, that's a lot of new folks. And they come with a lot of different ideas, especially if they're from California. But what I'm trying to say is we can learn to live together somehow. And that's one of the great gifts I believe the church can bring. Because there are precious few places in our society interested in such things at all. Very few places are as effective at offering people a new path than the faith community. Very few places are interested in hearing people's stories in the sacred community. Very few people are interested in the future for our children, like the faith community is interested for our children. I believe for my household and home, there is simply no better place than the church to invest for our values, to invest for our purposes as a people of God, to invest for the future and for today in caring for those who love the Lord and seek to live by His will and way. Growing one step in our giving this year will mean that we are prepared to fall under the guiding hand of the true shepherd, who is the door of the sheepfold. Growing one step in our giving this year means we are willing to follow the one who lays down his life for the sheep. It means following the one who is our Lord and loving craftsman, our holy lace maker, if you will, the master weaver, even Jesus Christ. Growing one step is akin to sitting at our grandmother's knee and learning something beautiful and vital, the handwork of mission and ministry fit for the ages. Now, I promised you to share with you something I discovered as I was working with these scriptures this week and knitting together the Good Shepherd and being woven together in God. Prior to about 500 years ago, cotton was very rarely used in cloth making. Cotton is a very difficult material to work with. We use it all the time now, but prior to that, wool was the way to go, especially for Northern Europeans like most of us, right? Wool. And I'd like to see the expression on the face of the first person, probably a woman, who discovered that you could take these strands off of the back of the sheep and go like this and make a string out of it. Wow! Eureka! Right? And then discover that you can take those pieces and you can weave them together. Grass, yeah, but wool? Who thought? My amazing discovery, and this may not seem amazing to you, but that the good shepherd who cares for the sheep, lays his life down for the sheep at the sheepfold, is the doorway in and the doorway out for the sheep, out into the world for adventuring with God, is the same shepherd who brings the sheep for the shearing. A sheep for the shearing. The wool is necessary for the next step. The wool is essential for weaving together in love a cloth that takes on life, a tapestry that moves through the world. The wool is essential part of the process. And it's not fatal. The great gift of sheep is that they can give wool. Without the shepherd, there's no sheep. Without the sheep, there is no cloth. And without the cloth, there is no weaving. Without the weaving, there is no tapestry. Without the tapestry, how are we to get around in resilient fashion into the world and have Christ expressed in our lives? Next week, we'll talk some about how we live with money. What is our relationship with money without being owned by it? How do we give from our bounty and not feel bereft? And more about the widow's mite, also one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I hope that you'll come and invite your friends to Mountain View as we continue to be led by the Good Shepherd and woven together in God, as we continue in mission and ministry together, as we support the work that we believe in, that I believe in so keenly, because without the strands, the fabric is very weak. Without the support, we don't have the resilience. Without your gifts, our ministry is greatly depleted. Together we grow in one fashion or another through the ages, coming to realize that it's resilience that God is weaving inside of us. And it is that tapestry, that getting out and moving around tapestry that's inside of you and inside of me, created by God, passing through the Lord's hands and blessed thereby. Please pray with me this prayer from the 5th century. O Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd of the sheep, who came to seek the lost and to gather them into thy fold, have compassion upon those who have wandered from thee. Feed those who hunger. Cause the weary to lie in thy pastures. Bring them to fresh water. And bind up those who are with broken heart. Strengthen those who are weak with resilience. That we, relying on thy grace and being comforted by thy love, may abide in your guidance to our lives end. Through Jesus Christ we pray, woven together in ministry and mission. Amen.
What? The wharf and the weave. We are God's people. We are held together by His grace. We encourage each other with a hug. We encourage each other with a hello. We strengthen each other for those days that we have long prayed for. The kingdom of God unfolding. Grace of God being lived out. You and I, friends, are a living tapestry, standing up and moving around in the world, sharing God's love and grace. Go in His peace and in His love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.